Welcome in to what I would consider one of the most special editions of First Draft that we do every year prior to the draft, which is now just 2 weeks away. We cannot wait. But the crew is the important part and the exercise itself. So let's get right to the introductions. I'm Field Yates. I'm old news. Mel Kiper Jr., also old news. Sorry, Mel. We got two very special guests here today as we have both Jordan Reed and Matt Miller. Jordan, what is happening, my friend?
Hey, I'm just happy to be here. This is one of my favorite exercises of the year. I know we're going to get some complaints from Mel. It happens every single year, especially with the draft order. I don't even know the draft order going in. I want a completely random draft from going here, so I'm excited.
Wow. Now I'm going to drop some news on you in just a moment. And Matt Miller, who has been comping left and right all week. He had a great comps show earlier this week. I think it's available on ESPN Plus now, so go check that out. What is happening?
Man, I do know the draft order, and I think it was set up this year because of Kiper's complaint. So I understand what they're doing. Field's the new guy making picks this year. He kind of got stuck at the back end of it. But
depends
it is
on how you look at it.
Right, exactly. Jordan's right. This is a fun exercise, man. It's a blast to do this. And I think it also allows us to share some insights about players that we maybe normally wouldn't when we're just talking about a regular mock draft or a big board. So it's going to be fun. I'm excited.
Let me just remind everybody, Field, of why I have the first pick. Not that I'm the oldest guy here by miles, right? So I deserve a few benefits, right? But I get a gift. I get a reward for having the best last pick ever in the mega draft, which was Will Levis. You guys did me a lot of favors last year. Let my boy Will with that rocket arm drop to the final pick, and it made me come out on top here. So that's why I earned that first pick. And thank you, Will.
Debatable.
Thank you, Will. Debatable. For doing a great job with the Tennessee Titans and showing all that great promise that we knew you had.
Well, a couple of rules here on our mega mock. One is that Mel cannot draft Will Levis again this year. He might try, but we won't actually put him into the draft order. That'll be like when the Vikings let the clock run out from them. What was that, 20 or so years ago? And then someone else jumped in to make their pick. But the intent of this draft is to have a whole lot of fun. The way the mega mock works is as follows. We're going to draft 11 positions in any order, but you have to draft one quarterback, one running back, two wide receivers or tight end. So you could double dip at wide receiver. You could double dip at tight end. You could have one of each. One offensive tackle, one interior offensive lineman. A caveat here, and Mel reminded us of this prior to the show beginning, you could project a guy who's played left tackle in college as a guard at the pro level, and you could use him as your interior offensive lineman pick. Then two of defensive ends, defensive tackles, and linebackers, plus one corner and one safety. So there you have it, 11 picks in total for each. And here is the mock draft order, which, yes, Mel may have actually gamed the system a little bit, as the order is as follows. Mel number one, Matt number two, Jordan number three. I go four. The good news is snake draft style. So I get to go four and five. So perhaps I might actually make out okay. But Mel, without further ado, who is the first pick, not named Will Levis, in this year's Mega Mock?
Yeah, I'm not waiting on quarterbacks this year until the 40th pick. Now, the quarterback will go number one. That's Caleb Williams. Caleb had an unbelievable 2022 campaign. We know about 2023. We know about what happened in the Notre Dame game on. But the bottom line is he's the number one pick. He's the number one player on just about everybody's board. If he's not one, he's got to be two. I think probably one on 95% of boards. So I'm not going to try to get cute, get fancy here like last year when that strategy comes into play, and strategy with everybody's going to come into play during the course of this draft. But I'm going Caleb Williams, number one overall, first pick in the draft.
That was easy. I feel like this is the only easy part of both the mega mock and also the actual 2024 NFL draft. Any strong feelings from the peanut gallery to want to oppose Mel? I'm assuming the answer is no. The window is closing in 3, 2, and 1. All right, Matt, you're on the clock. Number two, one quarterback gone by the wayside. It's Caleb Williams. Who's next?
This is my third year doing this. I really was hoping that Mel would overthink it and not take Caleb Williams and say, there's four quarterbacks. We'll go to the top five. I'll wait on quarterbacks. Kiper, of course, makes the right pick. So I'm going to – my notes in front of me say quarterback in round one. So I'm going quarterback in round one.
There you go.
Daniels, LSU, have to do it. Get the dual threat SEC Heisman Trophy winning quarterback in here. I would love to wait on quarterback. I did the same thing last year. I waited on Anthony Richardson last year, looked at the board, said it's four good quarterbacks. I'm going to wait, let Bryce Young and CJ Stroud go early. Not doing it this year. I don't have enough conviction about Drake May. I don't have enough conviction about JJ McCarthy, certainly over a Jaden Daniels. So easy pick here. And I apologize to my good friend Jordan Reed because we've really scraped the top off this quarterback class now.
However, Jordan has remained strong in his stance. The Drake May is quarterback two here. So he is sitting for the taken right now, Jordan, if you want to go that direction to pick number three.
I'm holding strong with the Drake May as quarterback two in this group of everybody. Everybody loves Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is a great player. But Drake May, he's my second ranked quarterback. So we're really happy to get him at the third slot right here. I'm just going to trust the flashes that I saw with Drake May throughout the season. And what I think is going to make him better in the NFL is once you take some of the onus off of his plate, he doesn't have to do as much heavy lifting. I think he's going to be better in the league. Yes, he has to clean up the footwork, the decision-making, but once we drop him and potentially having better surroundings, I'm going to trust the potential Josh Allen, Justin Herbert type of ceiling that he's labeled to have.
All right, so no surprises, I suppose, unless you were thinking more of a strategy-based mock draft, but there is a very, very good chance that three quarterbacks go picks one, two, and three, whoever makes those picks 2 weeks from tonight. Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May could also be how it actually plays out. On the downside of having the fourth pick, I didn't get one of my top three quarterbacks. On the plus side is that now I don't have to worry about a quarterback because no one else can take a quarterback. So I'm here to spoil the draft that my quarterback will be taken at a much later time. We have spent so much time debating between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers as the best wide receiver in the class, even though all four of us have Harrison Jr. as the number one wide receiver. Jordan, you have the number one player in the entire class, if I have that correct, right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, so we've got so much love for Marvin Harrison Jr., but we are also all eyes opened enough to the idea that maybe Marvin Harrison Jr. won't be the first wide receiver taken in the 2024 NFL draft. I don't think that's a crazy idea, but I'm going to make him the number one wide receiver taken in this mega mock draft. So Marvin Harrison Jr. comes off the board at pick number four for me, my first wide receiver slash tight end taken. And I don't even feel like I need to really spell out the case for Marvin Harrison Jr. other than the fact that he's the most pro-ready player in the entire class. This man feels like a walking Pro Bowl one day. But I really could have spent more time debating these two wide receivers, except for the fact that I have the fifth pick. And I'm Dick Malik Nabers, number five overall.
I knew it. I
had a feeling this is how the board was going to play out. So while there still is some debate about wide receiver two versus wide receiver three, there is none for me. So despite the fact that I had the fourth and fifth pick, I get the third and fourth players on my board. Most explosive player in the draft, of course, Malik Nabers. And I don't know who in this exercise is going to find any way to slow us down in the passing game.
I knew you were doing this, Field. I saw the board falling this way. Yep. The setup was perfect. Like, oh, there's a debate between these two. Not for you, because you get both of them.
I get both of them. Done. The only thing I did consider is I thought about taking Malik Nabers at fourth just to sort of see if I could rile you guys up for a second and see if you thought it was that crazy of an idea. You guys have way too great of instincts to know that I was going to go right back to the Marvin Harrison Jr. well. If I did that, so we just kept it chalky four and five. So we have two wide receivers after a run of three quarterbacks. I'm done on wide receivers and tight ends, just like the three of you guys are done with quarterbacks. Jordan, you are back up. Now things, I think, get a little bit more interesting.
That strategy was a little too sound. I think Field may have gotten the draft order yesterday, and he had some time to think over his draft strategy.
I studied stuff from Kuiper's past. I've been following his lead.
So I'm going to throw everybody for a loop here, and I'm going to attack what I think is one of the weaker points in the draft, and I'm going to go safety right here. I'm going to go with Cooper DeGene. I'm going to go with Cooper DeGene and get the top safety on my board. And I did this last year with Brian Branch, and everybody complained about there was no safeties left. Everybody was complaining about my draft strategy. So I'm going to do this again this year and get my top-ranked safety in Cooper DeGene.
What do you guys think? So, and I won't spoil the notebook we have coming this weekend, which is always a fun write and read, hopefully for the viewers, for the readers, I should say. But I do feel like I'm starting to hear more and more, and not everybody is this way. There's certainly not unanimous support for Cooper DeGene as one position or the other, but there does seem to be a fairly reasonable constituency of teams in the NFL right now, Matt, that feel he is a safety. They are grading him as a safety when they are building their big board.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's the inside-outside ability, like Brian Branch, like Antoine Winfield, like, I mean, even Minkah Fitzpatrick when he was coming out, you know, there was a lot of great debates at the time, like, where do we play this guy? Jalen Ramsey was another one who you see the versatility. I think the safety position is becoming so important, while also the talent level there is a little bit watered down, especially in this draft. I don't think anybody has a true safety in their top 32. I don't know that I have one in my top 50 right now. So Cooper DeGene being there with the – I heard one scout said they had him at 4-4-2. like a month off of breaking his, you know, being cleared from a broken fibula is wild. I mean, you could probably put him at running back, Jordan. He could probably play both sides for you. Like, yeah. You know, good old 1A football. He could play safety and running back because he's just that explosive as an athlete.
Yeah, Mel, I feel like you love that strategy right there. I feel Jordan. You like that one.
Jordan, you destroyed me on that one. Right here, I got the jeans circled. I brought him up early. Can we make that corner a safety? Jordan jumped right in there. I said, hit early, Cooper DeGene. I thought I was going to do it, Jordan. Great pick. And Matt's coming up now. I'd probably take one of my next guys. So I got a couple picks coming up. And that's the strategy of this. That is a weaker position. It is Cooper DeGene and then a drop-off. So you're right, Jordan. You hit that pick perfectly with Cooper DeGene. That's a sixth pick overall in this mega draft.
All right, we like it. So well done there by Jordan. Some strategy involved. Matt, you are back on the clock. You already have Jaden Daniels. Who's your next
pick? Yeah, this is tough because I actually had Cooper as a safety. I was going to pull this move off on you guys later. Ooh. But looking at the runs that have happened, the three of us have our quarterbacks. We've seen some receivers come off the board. Receivers in position where I think we've all talked about, there are three guys at the top that you can kind of debate them, and then there's a drop-off. Yeah. Well, my number two receiver is actually still on the board. So I'm going to take Rome Odunze from Washington to pair him with Jaden Daniels. The deep ball ability of Jaden and the 50-50 domination of Rome Odunze, just too sweet for me to pass on. I feel like at these other positions, whether it be offensive tackle, there might be eight offensive tackles drafted in the top 40. So I feel like I could wait there. No defensive linemen have been drafted yet. I don't like this linebacker class very much. So I think grabbing a marquee player at the top is a way to win in these mega drafts. So I'm going to get the other true number one receiver off the board here.
Okay, well done right there. Rome Odunze, who we all have inside of our top eight prospects in this year's draft class, goes number seven. I feel like other than the Gene curveball, like the players are going in line with where they are based off of the overall big board value. Of course, there's much more to this exercise, hence a Cooper DeGene going early. But Mel, you are now on the clock for two straight picks, and you have already taken Caleb Williams. So if you're the Bears, you have pick one and pick nine. You have one, eight, and nine. So you're the Bears plus more right now, Mel. Have at it with your next two picks.
Yeah, I got to go for a guy who's the major league weapon in this draft. This is the guy that I think will be a huge addition to a football team. He can do everything you want a player to do on the offensive side of the ball. Block, catch, run. He can be in the backfield. He can be anywhere you want him to be, and that's Brock Bowers. So with the three top receivers gone, and the guys nailed it with that, you guys all took the three studs. And there is a separation after those three, but there's no separation with Brock Bowers. He's right in there with Odunze and Marvin and Neighbors as the best receiving entities in this draft. So I got to go Brock Bowers with one of those picks, and I certainly got the best, if you want to say he's a tight end, the best tight end by miles in this draft. Now, the second pick here back-to-back is a little bit more difficult because you have a lot of waiting game you can do with some positions you cannot wait on. Jordan already gobbled up one of the safeties. That's not a strong position. I don't want to go too crazy there and wait and get a guy. There's a couple other spots you got to be a little careful with. Some of them will wait on. But for this particular pick, I just got to go with a guy, and he's my favorite player in the draft, or one of my favorite players to watch. And Fields laughing, and he's smiling, and he knows who it's going to be. I'm going to go in terms of, and I think there's some interior alignment you can be creative with, but I'm going to go with here, Javon Bullard, safety from Georgia. I'm going to go here. Javon Bullard, safety from Georgia, who can play a lot of different roles. And he's a guy, he's that Swiss Army knife type defensive back. He's a guy who just, he you mentioned Marvin Harrison Jr. He made that big hit, that wallop in the end zone, which costs really Ohio State a national title. Potential national title, that hit, and allowed Georgia to move on and win a national title. Because if Marvin Harrison Jr. plays that entire game, Ohio State wins that game. Yep. That was going into the fourth quarter. They were in complete control of that football game. It was Javon Bullard that made that hit. If I don't take a safety here, you guys, and I know who Field's going to look back. I got Field covered on that. And I don't know what Matt and Jordan. Matt Jordan's already got his guy. Matt, we'll see on that. But I think Bullard, to me, can do so many different things. The versatility is the reason why I'm going to go in. You talk about Cooper DeGene's versatility. It's the same thing with Bullard. And I don't want to lose a guy who can do so much in that defensive backfield and have to settle for somebody else that's more of a guy I'm not as convicted on in terms of my opinion. So I'll go Bullard here as, I guess, a strategy pick, if you want to say that.
All right, there you have it. I mean, a big game player, by the way. He was the defensive MVP in both of Georgia's college football playoff games back during the 2022 season. And on-ball production is pretty darn good as well. So Javon Bullard, okay, he goes number 9 in our mock draft, our mega mock. So Matt, you're back on the clock. Matt and Jordan, the only two drafters out of the four that never go back-to-back. It's kind of an odd thing for Mel and I. I feel like I've got to be more strategic. But Matt, you are on the board. You're on the clock, I should say. Just a reminder, you have your quarterback and your wide receiver, Jaden Daniels, and also Rome Odunze.
Yeah, I'm shocked by the Kiper pick. I didn't even have Javon Bullard on my list of potential safeties to draft. So a little bit of a reach from the Godfather at pick number 9 overall. I'm going to go chalk on this a little bit, guys. Right. I'm looking at best available players. I've got my quarterback. I've got my number 1 receiver. I feel like getting Dallas Turner here is an incredible value. I'm going to get the defensive end from Alabama, who I have graded considerably higher than his counterparts. I have him quite a bit higher than Jared Verse, Laiatu Latu, Chop Robinson. I'm not a big Chop Robinson guy, especially early in the draft. So I'll take Dallas Turner, 4.48 speed, 10 sacks last year, 12 and a half tackles for a loss, dynamic player coming off the edge. So given the fact that we have to have, you know, 2 front 7 defensive players, I'm going to get the premier pass rusher in this class right here.
All right, Dallas Turner goes 10th overall. A lot of speculation about the idea he could go 8th overall to the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, that team in desperate need for some edge rushers and obviously landed a big fish in Kirk Cousins at quarterback this offseason, plus Darnell Mooney. So maybe their wide receiver need kind of taken care of as well right there. Jordan, you're back on the clock. Number 11, you have Cooper DeJean, 1 defensive player, and Drake May with your first pick in the first round. Who's next?
Yeah, we're going to continue attacking positions that are not strong in this draft class. And at this position, I think there's one in a possible that could go in the first round, and that's that defensive tackle. I'm going to go with Byron Murphy the second right here as my defensive tackle of my group. And I know he's going to come off the board very, very quickly here. So we're turning in the car. We're not wasting any time here. We rush up to the podium and turn in Byron Murphy the second's name.
All right, there you have it. Not a lot to debate on Byron Murphy at 33 pressures last season, became a real force, a little under 300 pounds, but not a big defensive tackle class. Like I'm talking about in terms of sheer stature of some of the highest rated guys on the board. So Byron Murphy goes number 11, could see him going about that high in the draft, maybe a little closer to the middle of the first round, but totally get the strategy. And now I am up, and full disclosure, he was going to be my pick. So, Jordan, thanks for that. I am instead going to attack a position that Matt has just hit where there is some depth, but I really feel like this is the best player in the class. And I understand this position, I should say. I understand the health concerns are real. I'm not a doctor, and we don't have a medical staff on Team Yates over here. So we're going to run with Laiatu Latu, the edge from UCLA, 13-plus sacks last season. Just an absolute force to be reckoned with. Certainly the most refined pass rusher in this class. I feel like if you had a game tomorrow, which we don't, but that would be sweet if we did, and you needed the guy to maybe help you get home, the answer would be Laiatu Latu. So we now have one of our 2 players that defensive end, defensive tackle, and linebacker accounted for. I was thinking about going defense once again, but instead, despite the fact that it is a very, very deep offensive tackle class, I do like the idea of taking the best player at the position. So I will go with Joe Alt next, left tackle from Notre Dame, who I think will go higher than 13th overall. And I think that one thing I've come to realize, guys, I don't know if you're getting the same intel or not. I guess I'll start with you, Jordan, is that the 4 of us have Joe Alt ranked as our highest ranked offensive tackle. I wonder if there might be a little more division within the NFL. Like, I'm not saying that Joe Alt is low on anybody's board, but the idea that he is the consensus offensive tackle across 32 may not be totally accurate. What do you make of that?
Well, the fun thing about this offensive tackle class field is that there's so many options at the top of the draft. I think we could see as many as 7 go in the first round, which would tie the record that we saw in 2008. So the good thing about it is that there's a bunch of guys that could be that first one. I've heard some teams in the league are very high on J.C. Latham. I've heard some others that are high on Lou Fashanu, and then the same, how we're all high on Joe Alt. So there's a lot of different ways that a lot of teams could go. It's just a matter of the scheme that they run and then just the type of tackle that they're looking for, whether it's a left or a right tackle. And then the different types of schemes that I touched on a little bit earlier that they're trying to run too. So there's a lot of variables that factor into the equation with this offensive tackle class.
Mel, I got to know, did you take Joe Alt's dad when you guys did this exercise back in 92?
John Alt, heck of a player. And it's the size differential is amazing, guys. You can see the difference from that era where offensive tackles back in the day average about 275. Now look what they're averaging, what, 315, 310. So it's amazing the weight differential from players in the 80s even into the early 90s as opposed to where they are right now.
All right, so we're back up here on the clock with Jordan once again, and Jordan has two defensive players and a quarterback in Drake May. So who's next at pick number 14?
I'm going to go ahead and get Drake May a weapon here just because the wide receiver board is getting a little thin as far as the true bona fide first-round guys that I see. And I'm going to go with Brian Thomas Jr. of LSU, getting him a downfield weapon, 17 touchdowns last year, which led the FBS. 10 of those came on vertical routes. And what is one area of the field that Drake May was consistent in last year? It was the deeper portions of the field. So I think this is a really good match for both players.
Brian Thomas Jr., I thought the best accelerator in the class here, and a guy who was just such a vertical threat that you referenced, 17 receiving touchdowns last season. 14 could be about where he goes. If that happened in the real draft, by the way, which not that this is trying to simulate the real draft, that would be the Saints, New Orleans. That would be a homecoming, I guess, a stay at home for Brian Thomas Jr. as the Saints could be in the market for a wide receiver. I would not dismiss that possibility in round one to have somebody to play opposite of Chris Olave after adding Cedric Wilson kind of only this offseason. All right, Matt, you're back up at pick number 15. What you got?
Oh, my goodness. You guys just scraped my board dry with the Joe Alt pick. I was going to pull off the shocker with Brian Thomas Jr., trying to load up an offense here. I still feel like there's really good value at offensive tackle, even with Joe Alt gone. I'm comfortable waiting because, again, we each only get one of those. And I feel like OT4 in this draft is not that different than OT2. So I'm okay waiting at offensive tackle. I'm maybe go surprise here, but I'll take A.D. Mitchell, the wide receiver, because, again, another position where there is a drop-off. We need two pass catchers. I would have gone Brian Thomas Jr. here, but Jordan has stolen my big board, apparently, because he keeps taking guys one pick before me. So I'll go A.D. Mitchell, given that deep threat that I think is so valuable to have with Jaden Daniels. I know we only each get one corner, but I don't know how any of you are going to stop an offense with Rome Odunze and A.D. Mitchell on the same team. I mean, it's gangbusters.
My team's not going to, you know, we're not going to stop you, Matt. We're going to outscore you.
Outscore
you
might be.
Marvin Harrison Jr. Oh, no, we still don't have a signal caller. As of right now, the possibility of me being the quarterback for this team is still in play. So we shall see. Again, find out who I take at quarterback a little bit later on here in the exercise. Mel, you're up for two. Who's next?
Yeah, I think when you look at this, it's a couple ways to go here. I don't want to lose a guy, and Adonai Mitchell, heck of a player, but the guy that was opposite him, you think about Xavier Worthy, he can fly and he's tough. And I feel we've debated Xavier Worthy a lot. I'm going to take Xavier Worthy here, a wide receiver out of Texas, fastest guy you'll ever see. And he's a football player. He's not just a speed guy. He can do a lot of things with him. I got a versatile guy in Bowers. I got a versatile guy in Worthy. So I got a lot for defenses to worry about there. Yeah. And I got a guy on the back end who will knock you out, and Matt's going to have to move Javon Buller up from where he had him after the day. Get him up there a little bit, because I got a lot of guys who are playmakers on my team here. But I'm going to have to go with a guy
that's kind
of a he's a roll of the dice on the work ethic, the power, and the fact that if he can work through a little bit of that tightness in the hips, Jared Verse. So I'll go Jared Verse, who there's a wide range of opinion. Could go as high as that 9 to 12, could drop around 20 area. But I have to get a defensive lineman, a defensive end. Jared Verse from Florida State is my pick here.
All right, Jared Verse, the Florida State standout, who, of course, began his career at Albany. Jordan likes to remind us he was a tight end when he got recruited to Albany. I will figure out one day how that happens. Like, I'm no ESPN 300 high school recruit ranker myself, but one day I'll have to figure out how a guy can go, and I'm not blaming him. It's, like, amazing how some of these kids can slide through the cracks. Meanwhile, I've got other kids who are getting offers in sixth grade to go play for Lane Kiffin or somewhere in the SEC. So it is quite an interesting world there in the world of recruiting. We are through 17 picks. Matt, right back up on the board. Again, you just took A.D. Mitchell with your most recent pick. So who is next?
Yeah, I'm looking at the board and seeing, you know, those positions where there are a lot of value, somewhere there's not. We've seen, you know, receivers fly off the board. I've got my two pass catchers now. One position that we haven't talked about is corner, where I think there is a lot of conversation about who's the top corner in this draft. But I'll tell you, I don't know that there are four corners that I feel really comfortable with. So I'm going to take a corner and get the first guy off the board, and that's Terrion Arnold. He's my number 8 overall player in the entire draft. So I think this is fantastic value. He was a first-team All-American last year. He only allowed one completion over 20 yards, 6 career interceptions. He is a lockdown corner. Former safety, Alabama moves him out to corner. He shines there. another 40 time, maybe not where we all wanted it to be, but the technique is fantastic. He's a ball hawk and overshadowed teammate in Kuid McKinstry, who at the beginning of the year, I think we all thought would be a first round pick, maybe that top corner. So very, very happy to take the top corner in this class in Arnold.
Yeah, 12 pass breakups, 5 interceptions last year, both tied for the SEC lead. You're right, Matt, the 40 was what it was, but I think we all, I don't think any of us had illusions of Terry Arnold running a 4.42 or something like that. We knew it was going to be somewhere in that close to 4.5 range, and that's where it ended up. So the play speed I thought was good enough to kind of offset too many concerns there. Jordan, you're up now with your next pick. I feel like the wait between picks is getting longer and longer. And I feel like my board, as Matt said earlier, is just completely evaporating. But Jordan, you're up next year. What do you got?
Yeah, Kuiper killed me with the Jared Verse pick. That's exactly where I was going. I was hoping I could sneak him in a little bit later on. But I'm actually going to go guard right here. And a lot of people have this guy graded as a tackle. But I have him actually graded as a guard, and that's Troy Fatanu of Washington. Let's get some protection for Drake May. We don't want those question marks popping up that he didn't have any protection at North Carolina. So I'm going to go ahead and grab Troy Fatanu right here, who's a top 20 player for me at the combine. I thought he was by far in the on-the-field drills. I thought he was by far one of the most impressive offensive blockers in this entire class. So I'm going to go with Fatanu here as my guard.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan, we were doing our bold prediction show on Monday, and my bold prediction was that Troy Fatanu could go in the top 10 picks, which I know sounds a little rich, but everything – I asked Mel this question, and I think it's – I sort of asked it rhetorically, what area of the process has Troy Fatanu not been excellent at, right? The film was excellent. The pre-draft testing was excellent, both at the combine and also at the pro day. He was awesome at the Senior Bowl. He showed up at the Senior Bowl too, which is a big deal for a guy who could be a top 15 or so pick. You know, everything you've heard is that he's been awesome in his private visits with teams and conversations. So clean is one of those terms that I hope doesn't come across as safe, because I think there's upside here with Fatanu as well. But to absolutely love the pick by Jordan. I mean, I really hate the pick because that was where I was going to go next, but I do I respect the pick is what I should be saying. All right, so I'm up now for two, and certainly was thinking about going with a guard there, but instead I'm going to go with a cornerback because Matt was right. It's been a while since we've had and any corner talk in this entire conversation. And I do feel like, Matt, there is a clear two, especially if we're calling Cooper DeJean, understandably, a safety. So I'm going to go with Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo, who this past season had 15 pass breakups, tied for the most in the FBS. 2 years ago had that game with 4 interceptions, 2 pick sixes. And Mel, this is a guy that you have loved since, I don't even know when, going back to the fall. You're absolutely all about Quinyon Mitchell, who has done everything in his power to make his case as one of the, 12 or 15 best players in the entire draft.
Yeah, I get the Alabama-Toledo debate. You know, you're SEC and Terry and Arnold, you're the Mid-American Conference with Quinyon Mitchell, but he was such a great player. And then to run the way he did, Senior Bowl, you guys all watched what he did there, and we all saw that. So he's nailed the process. There's nothing he didn't do. Now you go level of competition, you can say all that with Terry and Arnold, who's a heck of a tackler. He's got versatility, gets his hands on a lot of passes. So I think it's a big debate as to which direction you want to go there. They're kind of 1 and 1A at cornerback. Then there's a little bit of a drop off. But I think when you look at where we are right now, there's a very underrated corner in this draft class as well. That's going to be a second round steal for somebody. But I think the Quinyon Mitchell situation to get him, you're talking about who's going to come out. I still think Quinyon Mitchell will be the first cornerback taken. I know, Matt, you'll disagree. You have Terry and Arnold. But I think when we get to the draft in a few weeks, it'll be really interesting to see which of these two cornerbacks is drafted first.
I know exactly who Mel was referring to is that sleeper corner, by the way. So Jordan, given that Matt and I have already taken one, if you take one, just be prepared for some Kuiper wrath. I'm just letting you know, if you take him, just be prepared for the wrath of Kuiper there. All right, the board is really, really interesting right now. I had this whole plan, Quinyon Mitchell and Troy Fatanu, and it would have been easy. And while I don't have quite as high of a grade on this player, I still think very highly of Graham Barton. So my interior offensive lineman will be crossed off by a guy who played left tackle for the past 3 seasons, that of course being Barton, spent his true freshman year at Duke, mostly playing center. And, there are certain players where I'm not sure it's totally worth going back to 2020 tape all that often, but went back to it. And I tell you what, it actually held some value for me to see him play that center spot. I think he's acknowledged very openly that he is willing and probably planning on moving to the interior offensive line, whether it's guard or center. I think Graham Barton might be a top 20 to 23 overall pick, guys. So many teams that have interior offensive line needs, whether it's Miami, whether it's Pittsburgh, a spot ahead of them. Now that Jacksonville signed Mitch Morse, they're probably out of that market. But it just feels like there are a lot of teams that need a player like Graham Barton, who one of the best run blockers in the entire class, in my estimation as well. So those are my two. And now we are right back to you, Matt Miller. Sorry, I'm going to the other side of the draft board. I'm sorry, Jordan Reed, you are up next. And
I'll jump him if you want. Jump him gladly. I'm ready to go if Jordan doesn't make this pick.
No, that was my bad. That's just bad hosting by me.
I think when a commissioner makes that mistake,
next pick. Right?
Jump right in there, man. Jordan and then Matt, you guys got a battle with your hands down. Matt's already started talking. Jeez, I don't know how this battle's going to finish up here.
I'm actually going to go running back right here. Take the first running back.
Hope you take the right one.
I
know who Matt's going to go with. It's actually not going to be his guy. I'm going to go with Trey Benson.
Ooh, nice pick, Jordan. There we go.
As the first running back off of the board. He actually is my second ranked running back in the draft. But I'm going to go with Trey Benson here. I like Trey Benson a lot as far as the tackle breaking skills. I think there's more to uncover with him as far as a catcher out of the backfield, too. And he's really good in pass protection, too. So I'm going to go with Trey Benson of Florida State.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Jordan, because I've gone back and forth on this myself, and I think it's a good debate. Separating the injury for Jonathan Brooks, which obviously is a big part of the conversation surrounding the Texas running back, who tore his ACL November 11th. We'll see whether he's available for week one or not, but given modern medicine, there's a chance. I don't want to put that pressure on him, though, so we'll see. Whose tape is better? If you throw away, obviously you can't throw it away in real life, but I think there's a case that I keep hearing, Jonathan Brooks has a better tape, but the injury, I could see someone saying, hey, the tape is just about as good for Trey Benson because it's darn good tape.
I think Benson's tape is better as far as when you factor in everything over the longevity of his career. Yes, I know he transferred from Oregon, but as far as his time at Florida State, his health, his explosiveness, his tackle breaking ability, I think as far as the stuff that he does, it translates slightly better than what we've seen from Jonathan Brooks. I mean, he was terrific throughout his career, and you can pull up any game from a season ago. Trey Benson was excellent. My favorite one to watch of him last year is the Wake Forest tape. You're seeing him catch the ball on running back screens out of the backfield. Yep. He's running in between the tackles. He can run behind pullers. He can run stretch runs as far as inside and outside zone. There's not anything that he can't do or that's foreign to him as a running back. And I look at somebody like the Cowboys at number 56 overall, they have a huge need at running back. I think it would be a great fit there.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza, better because it has to be.
I've kind of already, in my most recent mock, I had Jonathan Brooks going to the Cowboys. Such a Jerry Jones second-round pick. That's his fun zone, right? In the second round, Jerry says, I'm going to do something a little bit off the board. It's been going on for over a decade now, whether it's Randy Gregory, Kelvin Joseph. I mean, last year, how many years ago was it? Sam Williams, 2 years ago? Like, that's just when they kind of have some fun and do something a little bit different. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's a running back and even Jonathan Brooks in round two. Matt, you're up next. Where are you headed?
Jordan, the check's in the mail. Thank you for not taking my guy running back. So I appreciate
saved a long one for you.
Thank you. I got to get one every year. Last year, Roschon Johnson was my last pick last year. They've already put my pick in the doc, guys. They know who this is. It's like Caleb Williams, 1-1. I'm going to take Jonathan Brooks. I know Mel hates running backs. Yeah. I don't think he would take one here at 24 or 25, but I can't risk it. I love Trey Benson, and what he does as a receiver out of the backfield is very valuable. Jonathan Brooks has limited tread off the tires, just a one-year starter. It didn't even start last year, week one. He had to kind of bide his time and get into that starter role. But go back and watch him in the Texas Bowl game in January 2023 when Bijan and Roschon opted out, and watch what Jonathan Brooks did. He beat people up in that game, and you see the power, the explosiveness. He's such an instinctive, decisive runner. He's a good receiver out of the backfield. I would say he's the best pass protecting back in this class, which does matter. So I'll take Jonathan Brooks. Everything I've heard, he'll be cleared July 1. So we might see a little bit of a red shirt for him to start his rookie season, but I think the upside for him is tremendous.
All right. So a team could, at the very least, if they want, bring him along slowly, but it sounds like there's a chance he's on the field week one, which would be awesome. All right. So Mel, you're up here. You've got back-to-back picks, 24 and 25. Mel, no running back, no offensive tackle, no interior offensive lineman. Plus you're missing a defensive end / tackle or linebacker in a corner. So which direction are you headed with your next two here?
I'm going to go Darius Robinson here, who had an incredible pro day. And Darius Robinson is a kid who you can move around. My theme here is versatile guys. I made one critical mistake in this mega mock that I'm paying a huge price for, which I gambled and I lost. But I'll disclose that at a later time. But I made one incredibly fatal error in this mega mock and Miller, that's going to be, I'll tell you, who made me pay for it here? Where is it here? I would say Miller and Yates destroyed me. Miller and Yates destroyed me. Jordan didn't get me enough, but those two guys got me there. But I'm going to go Darius Robinson here. You can do a lot of things with Darius. He said, hey, give me a chance at the pro day. I will show you what I'm capable of. That the bench press reps went way up. Everything skyrocketed. And you can do so much with three technique outside. He is a guy who's going to be a very productive, very disruptive, versatile player in the National Football League. Now, I'm going to take a guy and move him, another versatile guy, Jordan Morgan from Arizona. He came on a Darian Mel show on Saturday, left tackle. He was coming off the injury. He said he wasn't 100% till midway through this past year. Did a heck of a job. He had some hiccups along the way, but he wasn't 100%. He's a guy who can play guard, right tackle, shorter arms than you prefer for left tackle, but he did a really good job there. He's going to be two full years removed from that injury this season when the season unfolds. He feels great, great kid, and they love the fact he can play anywhere. So my theme of versatility continues with Jordan Morgan. In this case, he'll be a interior offensive lineman as a guard moving from left tackle.
All right. So the key to getting into the mega mock is you got to go on the Darian Mel show on ESPN Radio on Saturday mornings, 10 to 1 p.m. Eastern time, right? Then you might have a chance of hearing your name called.
No, hey, both everybody's been on the Darian Mel show. Everybody here today has had an appearance. Multiple for a lot of you guys, right? Multiple appearances on the Darian Mel show.
That's a very good, it's a great radio program. Great one to, when you're taking the kids out for a Saturday morning activity, you listen with them. My daughters have great draft intel. They might only be 2 and 9 months old, but they know all about the draft from the Darian Mel show. All right, Matt, you are up here. We're getting down to the nitty gritty. I said it was 44 picks in total. I am apparently not much of a math guy myself. It's 40 total picks. Matt, you have just 1, 2, 3, 4 left, a tackle, guard, plus one defensive front player, and then also a safety left to address. Where are you headed?
I just love to hear Piper admit that we ruined his mega draft, by the way. So good job on that. Sorry, guys. We will have a cheers in Detroit. I'm looking at the board right now. I need an interior offensive lineman, but three are off the board, so I can wait. So interior offensive line, I was prepared to make that my next selection, but it's not smart to do that. I'm looking at defense. We have to have two players, one defensive end, defensive tackle, linebacker. I already have Dallas Turner. He's the best defensive end of this draft. I'm going to go – I did not think when we started this today that I would be making this pick, but I'm going to take Edgerrin Cooper because I think he is far and away the best linebacker in this class. I know Team Yates doesn't have a doctor. Team Miller does. So I don't want to – I like Peyton Wilson, but I don't want to get stuck and pigeonhole with a guy who has some injury questions. So I'll take Edgerrin Cooper, who is versatile. I mean, he 7.5 sacks last year. He's got a couple picks. Like, he is just – the picture of versatility. So to have him here paired with Dallas Turner, a ton of speed in the middle of my defense. I got the top, number one DN, number one linebacker, number one corner. And I think I'm still going to be able to get my number one safety when it's all said and done. So feel pretty good about defense right now.
Yeah, by the way, speaking of great pro days, Edrian Cooper, another guy whose athletic testing was terrific down there at the A&M Pro Day. All right, so I'm now looking at the board. It is now we have officially reached Tetris mode. You got to fit these pieces accordingly. So, Jordan, you're back up for pick 27 overall.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and get my corner here just because the corner board is getting a little bit thin. And I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. I like it. You know, adding him to Cooper DeJean, we're going to have a lot of versatility there. And Nate Wiggins, he's a player that I'm a little bit lower on as far as the consensus than the group. But I think this is really good value for him, getting him at this point in the draft. The ball skills are really good, very athletic. We saw what he was able to do at the combine before he got hurt, running in the 4.2s. So we have some speed, and then we also have some versatility. So I'm going to go with Nate Wiggins here.
And Matt, I believe you were there. You said he put on a good amount of weight for his pro day, right? It was like up to like 182. Is that correct?
Jordan was there, I believe.
I'm sorry, right? Jordan, I take that back. Was that you who was there?
Yes.
Somebody was there. Yes. One of you had a report. One of you had a tweet, I think, on him bulking back up for the pro day. So maybe that 173 frame at the combine was subject to change, as they say. So although we did see, we saw a guy, we saw Emmanuel Forbes last year go 16th overall at 174 pounds, I believe it was, to the Commanders in the first round. I'm saying all these things because I'm partially filibustering right now as I try to figure out what I should do with my next pick. We're down to, of course, the very, very final. I got four more picks. I got to make them count. So I need a running back. I need a quarterback. We'll wait on that one. I need a front seven player. And then I need a safety as well. So I am going to, I think I know which direction Matt is going to go at safety. So I thought about just taking another edge player because that would be fun. And that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to take Chop Robinson just to make Matt disappointed. Chop, I know. So is there a player who might generate like more divisive opinions that could go in the first, should go in the first round than Chop Robinson? The answer is probably no. The first step quickness is just off the charts good. The production is just off the charts average. He had four sacks last season. Two of them came against UMass, not a powerhouse program, but his traits are so good. There is some risk involved here. Obviously, you wish he had a bigger track record, but Chop Robinson, I think, plays with requisite effort. He's good against the run, good enough against the run, I should say, that I think he could go high, guys. I wouldn't be surprised if this is a top 15 pick. I know it sounds crazy, but a top 15 pick feels like it's in play. You know, you throw around a million predictions during the pre-draft process, so invariably you'll miss on some. Hopefully you get a few right, but Chop going higher than I probably realized, maybe coming out of the end of the college football season, seems to be one I've heard a decent amount. That leaves me with running back. Go ahead, Matt. Sorry about that.
Field, I'll give you a second to think about your pick here. I was talking to a scout 2 days ago, and he said, don't be surprised if Chop's the first pass rusher off the board, just because of those traits that you talk about. It. The guy had six sacks in college. That's the hard part. Like, how do you reconcile that first step quickness and all the athletic traits with a lack of production? But we do that every draft year. There's at least one player where you're trying to weigh those things out of. And it's usually a Penn State pass rusher, if we're being honest. That's usually who it is.
Yeah, Dafayoa, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
And the ironic thing, guys, is Adisa Isaac had the production but didn't have the workout numbers, and Isaac's a more productive player. And then you had Chop, who had with two sacks against UMass. Yeah. And, of course, you know, you don't get the brush. Odafe Owe here with the Baltimore Ravens had no sacks that final year. Still was a first-round draft choice on traits, and it hasn't yet evolved yet into that pass rusher they had hoped he would be. So you got to be careful. Ahead of Dallas Turner and Latu would be really way too much of a risk for me to go with when you have proven guys and Latu and Turner and Robinson. Still, you're gambling, and he doesn't have the longest of arms either. So he does. That's another issue with Chop. So I think that, to me, that would be really a stretch if he went somewhere in that top 15 to 20.
All right. Well, Mel, when he goes in top 15 or 20.
I didn't say you were wrong with the prediction, Field. I just said it would be something I would question. And it doesn't mean it won't happen. It would be something. I don't know how Matt and Jordan feel. If Chop Robinson was a 10th, 12th, 15th player, I'm going to sit there and say the word we throw out there a lot. What is it? Reach.
Reach. He's 34 on my board. 34 is where I have him.
Where's he on yours, Jordan?
He's 31 on mine.
Matt, Field?
18. I like to be right. That's what it comes down to, apparently. No,
what's the difference between him and Nolan Smith, who went in the last pick of the first round last year?
Oh, I think there he's really got more bulk than I think he's got better bulk than Nolan. And so part of it's like the art of building a board, by the way, as well, is that like I can't put my neck on the line for too many players who fit in this category of like much more potential than they are production at the college level. So I kind of had to like plant my flag on a couple. You're right. It's a fair analog right there.
Can I give you guys a quiz? I'll give you three a quiz.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
Who you go up against when you're a pass rusher in college? Who do you go up against 80% of the time?
Offensive tackles.
Your own team.
Who do you go up? You go up against AOGs. What are
AOGs? Another
AOGs. That's
guys.
The quiz. AOGs. Quiz of the day. Yep. What are AOGs?
Another occupation guy.
Another occupation guy. Exactly. Hey, and if you can't beat another occupation guy, how are you going to beat the best in the world on a regular basis? Right. The best in the world at offensive tackle in the National Football League. Another occupation guy means they're not going to be playing football if their college careers are over. And that's the majority of the guys you go up against at the collegiate level. So that's why it's
so
a risky move, gambling on traits and physical and athletic prowess when it didn't translate into production at the collegiate level.
Is UMass's left tackle a 2025 prospect that I don't know yet?
Don't discount that possibility yet, right? I mean, you know, Josh Wallace might get drafted. He was a UMass guy for 4 years before finishing up at Michigan. So don't sleep on the Minutemen.
There we go.
Great Minutemen. All right. I knew that one would get you guys riled up a little bit. So I'm glad that we threw Chop Robinson into this exercise. I'm done on the edge / linebacker / defensive tackle portion of the board. So the interesting part now is that we're basically at the point where three, in a lot of positions, people have taken a spot, are taking a player already. So I'm down to, like, I'm the last one standing. So I'm going to go running back here. And as I think I know where Matt's going to go at safety, and we're the only two that need, but I'm going to go with Marshawn Lloyd from USC, who you can make a case. He's the best running back in the class. That's such an explosive final season at USC after a time at the other USC, I guess, South Carolina, where he was way less productive, kind of underutilized, unfortunately, for the Gamecocks. Had a monster year this past year. Also ran a sub-4.540 at the combine, over 25 bench rep, powerful guy, a good tackle breaker and tackle evader, good in the passing game as well. So some of that versatility should pay off. I'll go with Marshawn Lloyd. I'm down to just a quarterback and a safety. Jordan, you are up.
Yeah, we're kicking ourselves a little bit here just because we waited too long to get an edge rusher, but we're going to go with another Penn State guy, and that's Adisa Isaac.
There you go. Yep.
I'm pretty high on Adisa Isaac. He's a top 45 player on my board, and I know the combine testing wasn't what a lot of people envisioned for him, but I think he shows a lot of explosiveness on tape. He's much longer than his counterpart, Chop Robinson, and definitely has some explosion. Not quite as explosive as Chop, but I think there's a lot left to uncover with him there as far as his potential.
This is going to be fun to watch, guys. Two Penn State players, one productive, not great numbers. One great numbers, not great production. Remember, Terrell Suggs ran, what, a 4.8 and change, and there were questions about him when he came 4.82 during his pro day, and it worked out really good for T. Sizzle in the NFL. So sometimes pass rushers can overcome that. This kid finds the ball. Locating the ball, very underrated for guys off the edge, and Adisa Isaac does that very well.
Good player, 7.5 sacks this past season. Certainly the more productive of the two Penn State pass rushers. A guy who's overcome a lot. If you want an inspiring story, go read about Adisa Isaac's background, because I guess it's not our job to be rooting for all these players. We want to see all of them be successful, but I would really love to see Adisa Isaac become a star at the NFL level like he was at Penn State as well. Matt, you are up. Yep. You're down to pick 31 in this draft.
Who would have thought 31 picks in, there would be one offensive tackle off the board? And that speaks to the depth of this, not the positional value, but the depth, you know, of how many great.
I know one you're not taking, Matt. I know one offensive tackle you will not take here.
Who is it, Mel? Who is
it? JC Latham. It's not going to be the pick of Matt Miller.
Yeah.
Won't happen. Not even in my top four tackles that I wrote down for today. But Olu Fashanu is my number two tackle, and I'll take him here. Guy only gave up one sack in college. Like, we talk so much, guys, about, oh, the Drake May slander. Where's this coming from? It feels unfair. How about the Olu Fashanu slander? I understand he had two so-so games against Ohio State. He played hurt this year. He doesn't get enough credit for playing through that. I get that he has the hand size of a 10-year-old, but I don't care because his grip strength is fantastic. He has the agility of a power forward. I think Fashanu has a chance to, in 3 years, be the best tackle out of this class. Now, Joe Alt, number one tackle for me. He should be the first tackle drafted, but if I'm the New York Jets at 10, I take Fashanu and say, learn from Tyron Smith for a year or two. And the fact that he might also get hurt, it would be a very big factor in that. But to get the second offensive tackle in the class here. I feel really, really good about it.
Isn't, I mean, it's logical, right? Because the tackle class is so deep that it was not necessarily the soundest strategy to take one early by me, but I did feel good about getting a top player at my position. One thing, as I mentioned earlier, like every team could see this board a little bit differently. I do wonder, and this is just an aside, a stray thought here. Everybody and their sister has the Titans taking Joe Alt seventh in their mock drafts, right? Mm-hmm. If Tennessee doesn't see Joe Alt in a tier by himself, they will be one of the more fascinating trade down teams because you know someone's going to want to come up and grab either one of the wide receivers, one of the other, if there's a quarterback that still falls all the way down to seven. So I do kind of have Tennessee flagged as one of my more interesting teams in the entire draft. All right, Mel, we've got, three more picks for you. You got two back to back. Where are you headed?
Yeah, I need a corner, I need an offensive tackle, and I need a running back. Those are the three positions I waited on. Shocked made one fatal. I'd have been doing backflips here if I didn't make one fatal mistake that destroyed me today. And it's tough to get over that mistake, but I'm trying to concentrate, maintain my level of concentration here to the best of my ability. And I think Matt is grossly underrating a player. Severely underrated. I don't know. I want to hear what Jordan and Field. I think J.C. Latham deserves to be in the top 15 of this draft. Top 10. I don't know what he didn't do. Yeah, he had some penalties. But remember, that offensive line was out of sync because the quarterback center exchanges were not always good. That's what happened on that hiccup when he played a great game against Michigan up until the last play. And you remember the last play, like you remember some of those interceptions of J.J. McCarthy when he didn't throw a lot. So sometimes the hiccup you remember, but it was just a hiccup. It was just a blip on the radar. J.C. Latham is a dancing bear. He's huge. He's a mauler. He's going to accentuate the running game. He can play left tackle. He says, we'll see. Bottom line is I think J.C. Latham, to me, and I know we could have got Fuaga. There's a lot of ways you can go here. Guyton, Mims. I like Rosengarten. So the strategy of letting it play out work with J.C. Latham here at this point. Cornerback's an interesting one, guys, because I think the most underrated corner in this draft is T.J. Tampa from Iowa State. A guy who, to me, receiver in high school, heck of a player. He's got length. He's Iowa State, where it seems like every Iowa State player, going back to when you go by Purdy, Mr. Irrelevant. You see, Kohler's contributing now with the Ravens, right? Breece Hall with the New York Jets. We'll see what McDonald can do with the Jets. Iowa State players that have gone, Matt Campbell has developed, and some of these guys have moved on and done really well in the National Football League. TJ Tampa, but there's another corner, and Field knows Tampa's my guy, but there's a guy who ran 4.48. Despite having a Jones fracture, and that was Kool-Aid McKinstry. Mm-hmm. Kool-Aid McKinstry showed me a lot. I mean, a kid, he's been there since day one for Nick Saban. He's a press corner. He's physical. Everybody said he was going to run 4.55. He ran 4.48. He battled through that injury. He's going to get – to me, that's the debate. Alabama cornerback Kool-Aid McKinstry are my most underrated player in TJ Tampa. So, again, that's a flip of the coin. Tough call for me. I have new ratings coming out on Friday. I love Tampa, but I'm going to go here. Kool-Aid McKinstry. Kool-Aid running that 4.48 showed me a lot because I had said, he's 4.55. Let's see. Bottom line is Terrion Arnold, who, developed and evolved. He goes way early. Kool-Aid here. Early in the career was Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid was the guy. Then people were down on Kool-Aid. Now they're back up on Kool-Aid. That 40 time and the way he performed as a press corner physical guy, coached very well. Nick loved him. I'll go Kool-Aid McKinstry slightly over my guy, TJ Tampa.
All right. I got to admit, Mel, I'm surprised by that one. I just figured it was a TJ Tampa lock with all the love you have had for TJ Tampa. You love yourself.
You pick one guy. And Kool-Aid, we said he's been there so long, people overanalyze. And overanalysis causes paralysis. And then you start wondering, is he overrated? Yep. And you give Terrion Arnold the edge. And McKinstry's been there so long, but then he was supposed to run 4.55, and he ran a lot better than that. Press corner, and he's a Nick Saban guy, and he's been there since day one. And Terrion Arnold's going to go in the early to mid first. And here's McKinstry in the second. I think McKinstry goes late first. TJ Tampa's a good player. He's very underrated. I think he deserves to be in the late first round discussion. I think he'll go early second round, but you can't pick them both. So I'll give the slightest of edges to Kool-Aid McKinstry, cornerback from Alabama.
All right. So Mel has one pick
question.
Please go for it.
Did Ozzie Newsome come into Mel's living room? It's possible.
It's the big crab cake, Matt. It's the big crab cake. Everybody here in Baltimore loves Alabama players. Nick's a guy we've raved about forever. Ozzie Newsome, Alabama guy. You're right. They've had great luck with Alabama players. And again, for me, what's not to like about J.C. Latham and Kuwait McKinstry and then Brock Bowers and Bullard from Georgia? I guess it's a little SEC feel
SEC.
There. And we got, hey, we got Xavier Worthy as well. That's going to be SEC, right?
SEC next year. Yeah.
Be SEC.
Yeah. So we're good. We got Darius Robinson. So we got a lot of SEC flavor, which is not a bad thing since it's the best conference in football.
Well, babe, with the way the college football is going, Mel, you guys could be SEC before you realize.
Exactly.
All right, so we're down. Mel's got one pick left, just a running back. So, Matt, you're back on the clock for your second to last pick.
Yeah, Phil, I need a safety and I need an interior offensive lineman. And the one fun thing about being by yourself on players in terms of our evaluations is I don't really have to worry about you guys taking one of my guys at this spot. So I can really go either way. I'll go interior offensive line here just because I love Zach Frazier and I want his name a little bit higher on the board when this gets posted. He's my top center in this draft. I think he is ideal for that inside-outside zone scheme. He moves exceptionally well. A four-time state wrestling champ in high school. I love that stuff when it comes to interior alignment. The movement skills are great. I know we all fell in love with JPJ out of Oregon after the Senior Bowl, 2 days that he had at the Senior Bowl, but this is the time of year I go back to tape. I read the things that I wrote in the fall, and I absolutely love Zach Frazier.
And that wrestling background field, and guys, you watch him, he could just poof. I mean, Frazier is a guy, and then wrestling background for offensive linemen, huge. So you're right, he's right in there. And like I say, Jackson Powers Johnson, I've been hearing more second round. A lot of mocks had him in the first early on, but a lot of second round play more for him.
Yeah. Zach Frazier plays with some bad intentions. That is a nasty dude on the football field. That trend, that toughness from the back, wrestling background certainly does translate. All right, Jordan, back to you. We are down to the final two selections, one offensive tackle and one wide receiver or tight end. And you're the only drafter who needs either of those. So you have zero pressure to worry about whether your guy that you want will be taken by somebody else.
Ooh, so I need another offensive weapon here. Mm-hmm. Wide receiver class is deep, but I'm really excited about this one. And I'm actually going to go with Keon Coleman of Florida State, who was one of the more polarizing prospects in this draft class. But you talk about somebody that I think has a lot of similar comparisons to Allen Robinson, Brandon Marshall. He's that type of receiver that dominates at the catch point. He's never going to be a great separator, but he's somebody that's always going to be consistent at the catch point. He's going to be a red zone weapon for somebody like Drake May that does not have that type of weapon when he was at Carolina. We want somebody for him to just be able to lob the ball up to. Keon Coleman is that type of receiver.
There you have it right there. Keon Coleman, who, as we talk about the 40 time at the combine, it's also worth noting that despite the 4.61, he had the fastest gauntlet time. That's that drill for those that don't follow the combine super close, where wide receivers are supposed to run in a straight line. They're going to catch about six passes from sideline to sideline. Keon Coleman was very fast during that. That certainly helps. All right, so we're getting down to the final five picks and my final two. So I'll be done after this. I need a quarterback and a safety. Now, it does not matter which order I go in this case. I will start with my quarterback, though, J.J. McCarthy, quarterback 4. Obviously, the strategy here was straightforward with three quarterbacks going 1, 2, and 3. I was afforded the option to wait until my last or second to last pick in this case to take a quarterback. So J.J. McCarthy out of Michigan, a player who I think we all believe by now is going to go inside the first 10 picks, maybe as soon as pick 3 or 4. J.J. and Cole Bishop, who Ben Arledge, our editor, who is filling in the picks, very accurately guessed as my final pick, safety out of Utah, had a great combine, ran that 4.4s 40. Also a guy who has a ton of versatility, excellent blitzer, good in man coverage. That speed at the Senior Bowl kind of confirmed how much of a man coverage weapon he can be. I think he goes somewhere in the back half of round 2. So Cole Bishop, it's my safety. I am done. Finito. No Moss. Jordan Reed, you are back on the clock.
So once again, piggybacking off of field, we do not have any doctors on Team Reed. this one player I think has immense upside. And I'm going to go with Amarius Mims, the offensive tackle out of Georgia. Durability is the question mark with him. It's not ability. If we're strictly talking about ability, there's a strong argument that can be made that he's the top offensive tackle in this class. Only 8 career starts out of 30 games played, but when he was on the field, he was an absolute game changer. And you think about him last year in the college football playoff, he's playing sparingly, going back and forth in and out of the lineup, and he's flashing every single time. I see him at the pro day. I mean, this guy is big as a mountain. He's every bit of 6'8", 340 pounds. So long term, if you told me that he's on his second team 5 years from now, I would believe you. But if you told me he was a top 10 offensive tackle or even better in the league, I also would believe you. So ability is not the question with Amarius Mims. It's just durability with him.
Yeah, totally. I mean, 803 snaps. Go, what melody?
If he was going back to Georgia and you weren't going one of those way too early mocks right after the draft, Amarius Mims would probably have been mocked in the top 5 to 10 overall in the 2025 draft had he been able to go back. And thinking he was going to be like a Broderick Jones who went very high but had a full year, Amarius Mims would have been afforded a full year. We'd have been talking about him way up there in the top 10 to 12. So I think Jordan's right on that. Amarius Mims is a gamble on greatness based on what you've seen in a very limited sample size.
You know, I take a gamble on greatness with Chop Robinson. You guys skewer me. Meanwhile, Jordan takes a gamble on greatness with a guy that played 803 snaps and Amarius Mims. Kuiper's about to ready to put him in the Hall of Fame. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. But that is Jordan's final pick. So he and I are done. That means Matt.
I'm in the arm length field. Arm length on Amarius Mims. Arm length to Chop Robinson. Whatever. A heck of a difference there.
Amarius Mims, 86 3/4 of an inch arm length right there. One of the longest, if not the longest, in the entire draft class. What do you got, Matt?
Yeah, I'm down to just needing a safety. I was waiting to see if our wonderful editorial staff could predict my pick like they did yours of Cole Bishop, but they haven't yet. And my top safety in this class, I'm alone on this. And it goes back, like I said, go back, read what we wrote in the fall. Don't get caught up in the draft hype. I'm going to take Kalen Bullock from USC. He is my top safety. I get it. The guy doesn't like to tackle. Neither did Deion Sanders, and he's the greatest cornerback of all time. Kalen Bullock, 9 career interceptions. He's great playing the middle of the field. Still need that free safety with range over the top. He has that for days. Great athleticism. Really, really good length. Finds the ball. I know last year was a little bit of a step down for him. They had no pass rush at USC. That really affected what they could do on the back end. So I'm looking at my roster here, guys. Every player I selected is in my top two at their position in this draft. So I feel great about where the roster is now.
Well, you can adjust those ratings anywhere you want, right, Matt? You do anything you want those ratings. Oh, my gosh. I never remember Deion Sanders and Kalen Bullock in the same sentence together. Wow. That's going to be really interesting. Deion and Kalen Bullock. You brought that together beautifully, Matt. Yep. Kalen Bullock and Deion. I like that one.
Hey, well, the lock on the
they're playmakers.
By the way, I felt like Mike Ditka when he picked Ricky Williams. I was out golfing. I just got back off the driving range. I'm getting ready to hit some balls. I finally get another pick here to wind this thing up. Will Levis was my final pick. How the hell I ended up with a final pick in every one of these daggone drafts? But Will Levis, hope I hit like I did with Will Levis last year with my last pick in the draft.
I know, no pressure.
Can anybody guess who I'm going to take? Can anybody here guess who I'm going to take?
All right, so it's Jaylen a running back.
Got to be Jaylen Wright.
So was that's a no for Mel. Is no to Jaylen Wright?
No. Who said Jaylen Wright?
Matt Miller.
Yep.
All right, Jordan, take a guess.
Blake Corum.
Field.
Okay, so I got to go with a different running back.
You don't have to go with different. I'm saying I didn't say who was right here.
Oh, okay, gotcha. All right, well, I'm going to throw another.
Get the pun. I didn't say who was right here.
Got it. Okay, yeah, Jaylen Wright. My answer is going to be
Jaylen Wright's my guy.
Jaylen Kamani with Allen there. Hey, just for the
I got in early. I got in on early. The bandwagon's getting full on Jaylen Wright. So the bandwagon keep coming in. Jaylen Wright's a hell of a player. I mean, I watch this guy, the running style, the way he attacks, the contact balance we will talk about. Jaylen Wright has that. He's my second highest rated running back. Jonathan Brooks, had he not been injured, would have gone a lot higher. He's still my number one running back. Blake Corum, good football player, no question. There's no doubt Trey Benson would have 4.39 speed, but I like Jaylen Wright. I think talk about underrated. I think I cornered the market at underrated players today. And I got a lot of guys who were versatile, but I got some underrated guys as well. And I'll wind it up with Jaylen Wright like I did with Will Levis last year, both SEC players. It just worked that way. I guess I love the SEC. Everybody loves the SEC. Hell, the NFL loves the SEC. Look at all the players in the NFL from that conference, right? I'll corner the market on the best conference and the best players in college football.
Okay, so we have officially completed 40 picks. Does each of you have your full team in front of you? If I were to ask you to read it off, all right, so Mel, you had the first pick. So why don't you read us your 10-man squad? And of course, Caleb Williams kicked things off. What do the rest of the roster look like?
Well, I'll go offense first. I got the dynamic as the master creator. Yeah. Matt called him the creator because he didn't want to say master because he didn't want to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, like compare him to Aaron Rodgers. So he took master out and just said creator.
Right.
But I'll say he's the master creator, Caleb Williams. And then we go to the running back spot. We got Jaylen Wright, the most underrated running back in this draft, the guy that I think is going to be a heck of a player. And we know running backs always go third, fourth round when they're in this type of slot here. So Jalen Wright, then I go wide receiver. I got a guy who can fly. You can run him with jet sweeps, versatility, fear factor player, space guy, get his hands on the ball, and boom, he's gone. Is Xavier Worthy. So to me, Xavier Worthy is not just a track guy playing football. He's a baller. And I love that. You saw him catch a pass. He didn't go out of bounds. He went back in and gave that defensive back a shot. Don't underestimate the toughness of Xavier Worthy. He's a baller. Played with a broken hand. That's why he dropped some passes late 2 years ago. Then I got Brock Bowers, who can do everything. So I got the quarterback, the running back, and two dynamic players there. Then I go to the O-line. I got a versatile guy in Jordan Morgan. Wait a minute. Left tackle, despite the short arms. You say, why is Kuiper taking a short arm left tackle? I think he's a guard. Or it could be right tackle. He can do anything. And an offensive line, when you have injuries, and a guy like this that you can move anywhere and feel really good about it. I love Jordan Morgan as my interior guy. And J.C. Latham, Matt, we're going to be on opposite ends. We'll see in 3-4 years who's right here. Yep. I'm rolling the dice on a guy who is, I say, that dancing bear who says he can be a left tackle. You watch the games. Hey, he played great. And he will accentuate a running game. He'll blow you off the ball. So I love my offense defensively. Jared Verse. Is the key guy. Verse can either be a 10, 12, 15 sack a year guy or be a disappointment. The tightness in the hips, will that prevent him? You see it a little bit. Saw it even at combine. Bottom line is Jared Verse, I love the attitude, love the power. I love the way he can close, but will the tightness in the hips prevent him? So it's a little roll of the dice there. Darius Robinson is just a guy, do anything you want with him. What he showed, he said, hey, I'm going to show you what I can really do. And everything stepped up pro day related. Then you go to the back end. And I got a guy like Kool-Aid, and I've talked enough about him. Kool-Aid McKintry, since day one, has been a favorite of Nick Saban, and he's playing there. He was better than Terrion Arnold early on. Terrion Arnold caught him, passed him. Guess what? Maybe he really didn't. Once they're in the NFL, we'll see how that all plays out. And then you get a Javon Bullard, one of the more underrated players. All this kid does is make plays, and you can do a lot of things with him in the secondary because he can cover and he tackles. So, Ken, playmakers on both sides of the ball. I don't care where they're going to go. I don't care where they're rated by some people. All I care is when 3 years – are gone. 4 years are going by. Watch where my players are. They're going to be studs in the National Football League.
All right. That's the Kuiper stamp of approval. You really can sell your team right well, Mel. I love that about you. Matt, you are up next. You had the second pick. Why don't you read us how your team unfolded?
Yeah, Field. I've got Jaden Daniels, the quarterback. I think he speaks for himself, the greatness that he is, dual threat. No defensive player in this class can keep up with Jaden Daniels. So I feel great about that. And again, my strategy here was to get the number one or number two player at every position in this draft. Like Kuiper says, you can make your rankings however you want. This was my pre-mega draft rankings. The board was not changed today. So Jaden Daniels, the quarterback, running back one, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas. He'll be healthy for the season. We're good there. And especially if we're evaluating this 3 years from now, I think he'll be the best running back in this class. Rome Odunze, my number two wide receiver. Field, you took the top two receivers, I think, for most people when you got Harrison and Neighbors. Very, very, very happy to get Odunze here before the run on receivers went. Adonai Mitchell, and now I have my 6'3" deep threat, someone that could stretch the field vertically with the Odunze doing so much damage on 50-50 balls, yards after catch stuff underneath. Offensive line, Bashanu and Zach Frazier, two really agile guys who, as you said, play with bad intentions. They're going to dump you pancakes all over the place for both of these offensive linemen. And again, my number two offensive tackle, my number one interior offensive lineman. On the defensive side, just speed all across the board. Playmakers for me. Dallas Turner, the best edge rusher in the class. Edgerrin Cooper, the best and most versatile linebacker. Terrion Arnold, I think the debate between he and Quinion Mitchell is absolutely close. I love both players. Took Arnold here because he is my top corner. And then to get the top safety, I think we all probably have a different top safety at this point.
Yeah.
But Kalen Bullock, the top safety for me coming out of USC. So
I thought he was playing corner, Matt.
My team
I thought Bullock was playing corner.
No, safety. Playing safety for me. Yeah.
Comparison threw me a little bit. You know, some people are looking at Bullock maybe as a little bit of a corner, but it was when you saw Deion out there, I said, hey, you get a safety, not a corner, Matt. You're projecting Bullock to corner. You got to pick another safety, pal.
Equal opportunity tacklers, Kalen Bullock and Deion Sanders. Wow. That was my only point there.
Hopefully equal opportunity playmakers as well at the NFL level, because Matt would certainly win this draft. That's what Kalen Block comes. All right, so let's wrap things up with Jordan and my team. Jordan, you are up next. You had Drake May with the third overall pick. And then what?
Yeah, we started off with Drake May, and then we go with Trey Benson at running back, who I think is one of the better overall running backs in this draft class. And then we follow that up. We get Drake May, two very good complementary weapons in Brian Thomas Jr. and then also Keon Coleman, two players that complement each other very well. Brian Thomas Jr. would take the top off of the defense, that vertical stretcher, those 17 touchdowns on 10 vertical passes last year. He's going to bring that type of element to the game, while Keon Coleman can work those underneath areas. But in the red zone, pick your poison with both of those guys. We have that ability to lob it up to either one of those guys. Then transferring over to the trenches, we have Amarius Mims at offensive tackle, and then we have Troy Fatanu, who can be our jack of all trades along the offensive line. He can play center, he can play guard, he can play tackle. There's so many different things that he can do. Then we have Byron Murphy the second, and Adisa Isaac along our defensive line. Two very explosive players coming off of the edge, and then we're very stout along the interior. And then in the secondary, we have Nate Wiggins along with Cooper DeJean in the back end. Two players that I like quite a bit. Nate Wiggins, even though he didn't test athletically just because of the injury that happened, we saw the 4.2 speed that he had, but I thought he performed very well at the combine. So we have that athleticism on the perimeter, and then we have that Swiss Army knife in Cooper DeJean. He can play outside corner, he can play nickel, he can play free, he can play strong. There's so many different ways that we can unlock him.
All right, so I had the fourth pick, which allowed me the ability to attack other positions besides quarterback early, but I'll read this roster like you guys did. My quarterback is J.J. McCarthy. Certainly opinions on J.J. sort of vary, but depending on who you are listening to or talking to, we all have him as quarterback 4, but we also all believe he will end up being a top 10 pick, if not maybe closer to fourth pick overall. Marshawn Lloyd from USC, just a powerful, nimble back. And then my wide receiver group is where the bread and butter of my roster will rest. Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers, 4th and 5th picks overall in this draft. No one, and I mean no one, will end up being able to cover our passing game options. I got Joe Alt, top-ranked tackle on my board, and I think on all of our boards, with my offensive tackle spot. Graham Barton from Duke as my interior offensive lineman. Super versatile, but he'll play either guard or center in this case. And then I have the best pass rusher on tape from this past year and really the year before as well. Leiatu Latu was one of my 2 front 7 players. As I mentioned earlier, we have no team doctor on Team Yates. We are planning on Latu being a full go all the time. He pairs with Chop Robinson, so you got kind of a different style of rusher there. Is Leiatu Latu so refined, so technically sound? Meanwhile, Chop Robinson is, he needs to be more productive, but incredible athlete with that great first step, you know, one of the fastest 10-yard splits amongst all pass rushers at the entire combine. And then our corner group is led by Quinyon Mitchell. As a matter of fact, it's a one-man corner group as we only picked one cornerback. And Cole Bishop from Utah, my top-ranked safety, rounds things out. Excellent speed as well. So lots of speed on this roster between our receivers and our defensive backs and even one of our edge rushers in Chop Robinson. I'm going for the explosive group. So here's our ask to you, the people that are listening or watching right now. Let us know which roster you like the best. Mel has already made it clear his team is going to be a bunch of future all pros, but chime in with your thoughts on which of us fared best in this mega mock. All right, before we say goodbye, any closing thoughts from everybody that they just have to get off their chest that they have not had the opportunity to do so up to this point?
I'll start. I'm the oldest guy here. I'll start. And you're going to get the oldest to youngest will go, right? Yeah. I got the most underrated team. I got a team that people aren't going to love on paper, but you don't win football games on paper. You win them on the field. I got ballers. I got guys who can do a lot of things for you. So think beyond round. Think beyond perception. In 3 to 4 years, I believe my team will be the best coming out of this group, because I got guys who can do a lot of things and they produce on the football field. I don't care about all the workouts, all the numbers, all this. Production on the field is important, and my guys did it.
Okay, there you have it right there. That's just stating his case. Matt or Jordan, anything else to say as we say goodbye?
Yeah, I have to know. Kiper teased it all show that we tanked his team in this draft.
Ah,
and he never
that's right.
tipped his hand. So I need to know. Kiper, where did it go off the rails for you?
Well, a couple places.
Where do you want to start?
We'll start out when I took Javon Bullard. I was going to take Troy Fa'utanu.
Yeah.
So I could have probably waited a little bit, got Fa'utanu, who I like. When I took Worthy, I could have taken Mitchell. So I could have maybe waited on a receiver and got a guy we didn't take, an Xavier Leggett from South Carolina, a really good player. So I could have waited a little bit on a wide receiver and taken Quinyon Mitchell, then got the receiver later. So if I'd have had Fatanu, waited on Bullard, Mitchell waited on Worthy, I would have been, or another receiver, I would have felt a little better than I do right now. In fact, I would have felt like I nailed it. And here I got probably a B, B+. I should have had an A+. Hey, I got nobody to blame but myself. You can't redo it. You got to write it in pen. I did. But two major blunders cost me big time today.
Okay, there you have it. Jordan, any last thoughts here before we say goodbye?
We waited a little too long to take defensive line, but we're still happy with Adisa Isaac. We took some roll of the dice. Amarius Mims, we're really happy about that. Once again, there's no doctors, so we're not worried about him rolling the ankle or getting tightrope ankle surgery or anything like that going out in games. But we're happy with everything that happened.
Yeah, last thought here for me is just that I wish Troy Fatuitano hadn't been taken from me by Jordan Reed, an excellent pick by you, but one that I am very, very jealous of. That was a ton of fun. Can't wait to be back here on First Draft on Monday. But in the meantime, go find all of Mel, Matt, and Jordan's work all over ESPN.com and probably the ESPN airwaves or ESPN Plus airwaves as well. Gentlemen, enjoy the weekend. We are 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. We'll talk to you all again soon here on First Draft.